Welcome to Ad Bible, an audio daily devotion from the Ezra Project. We join Alan J. Huth as he shares Bible passages and comments from over 30 years of his personal Bible reading journals.
Today we come to the conclusion of 1 Samuel. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 31, and there are only 13 verses to wrap up this book, so let's listen in. The faith comes by hearing as we conclude 1 Samuel.
1 Samuel 31. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled before the Philistines and fell slain on Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines overtook Saul and his sons, and the Philistines struck down Jonathan and Abinadab and Melchishua, the sons of Saul. The battle pressed hard against Saul, and the archers found him, and he was badly wounded by the archers. Then Saul said to his armor-bearer,
"Draw your sword and thrust me through with it, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and mistreat me."
But his armor-bearer would not, for he feared greatly. Therefore Saul took his own sword and fell upon it. And when his armor-bearer saw that Saul was dead, he also fell upon his sword and died with him. Thus Saul died, and his three sons, and his armor-bearer, and all his men on the same day together. And when the men of Israel, who were on the other side of the valley, and those beyond the Jordan, saw that the men of Israel had fled, and that Saul and his sons were dead, they abandoned their cities and fled. And the Philistines came and lived in them. The next day, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, they found Saul and his three sons fallen on Mount Gilboa. So they cut off his head and stripped off his armor and sent messengers throughout the land of the Philistines to carry the good news to the house of their idols and to the people. They put his armor in the temple of Ashtaroth, and they fastened his body to the wall of Bethshan. But when the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard what the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and went all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan. And they came to Jabesh and burned them there. And they took their bones and buried them under the tamarisk tree in Jabesh and fasted 7 days.
I will conclude 1 Samuel by looking into the three journals that we've walked through this whole book. So let's go back to 1983. I do have more than one line on this chapter as we wrap up 1 Samuel. I wrote back when I was 28 years old, "Jonathan and Saul are killed fighting the Philistines. It's sad to finally see Saul die. What a spiritual struggle he had most of his life. Jonathan, a man of love, who knew David was destined for the throne and said, 'I will be next to you.' These deaths paved the way for David to become king." And when I was 47 years old, in 2002 I wrote, "Saul and all his sons die in battle. God finally takes Saul's life. Rather, Saul is severely wounded in the battle, then takes his own life. The bodies were cremated. With no survivors, God opens the way for David to become king." And lastly, at 57 years old, I wrote 1 Samuel 31. Jonathan gets a one-line obituary. David's friend dies in battle. All the sons of Saul die, leaving no heir to the throne, opening the way for David. Saul, wounded in battle, takes his own life. Is Saul in heaven? Not because he took his own life, but did he live for God, give his life to God? Was he favored enough by God as Israel's first king to get to heaven? His spiritual life was inconsistent. I don't know. It's certainly not up to me or up to us to decide anyone's fate. It is up to us to decide how we're going to live our own lives. There are many models in 1 Samuel. Saul, Samuel, David, Jonathan. Who did you like? Who would you like to model your life after? Maybe you want to be completely consistent like the prophet Samuel. Maybe you'd like to have the love of a Jonathan. Or maybe you'd like to strengthen yourself in the Lord like David did over and over in this book. But the fact is, most of us are probably more like Saul. We struggle to maintain consistency in our spiritual lives. Remember early, the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon Saul. God gave him everything. He was going to be the first king of Israel. But also remember those very difficult lines when an evil spirit came from the Lord upon Saul because of his disobedience, his inconsistency with his walk with the Lord. God finally removed his spirit and removed his blessing, removed his favor, and removed the throne from the household of Saul. We probably really don't know the struggle of Saul, but we are probably like him. In our own heart of hearts, can we maintain consistency in our spiritual walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and God Almighty? I hope from 1 Samuel that you've been encouraged or you've been challenged to strengthen your walk in the Lord and become far more consistent in your faith, in your love, in your walk with God Almighty. And one way to do that is to stay in the Word of God each and every day. Like Saul, the Philistines were after him all the days of his life. We are the same. Satan, our enemy, is after us every day of our lives. God loved us enough to give us his Word. I pray that you'll stay in it consistently each and every day of your life. Well, we can't leave the story here, can we? So join us for 2 Samuel, where we will continue the story about David as he becomes the king of Israel. Father, thank you for the great lessons we've learned from this book, 1 Samuel. Help us, Lord, to become more consistent in our spiritual lives. Draw us to your word where we can learn more about you. We love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.